Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a weekly RC aviation podcast.
All right, here we go. Welcome to episode number 36 of RC Hangar Time.
Woo-hoo.
So it's, what's up, guys? What you guys been up to? Who wants to go?
I'll go.
Go for it, John. What have you been up to?
Oh, amazing week. We had the big jet rally up in Hamburg, PA. Got to talk the wife into letting me go up for 2 days while she watched both of our kids. I paid for that and I owe her now, but it was surely worth it. Well over 50 pilots. I mean, jets out the wazoo. So I got to see some crash, which I don't like seeing, but at the same time, I do like seeing. And there was a vendor up there selling a bunch of RC stuff, new stuff, and I had broke down and bought one of those little UMX beasts from eFlight, and then also awesome. Bought one of the little UMX Habus. Oh, those things are amazing. And then on Sunday, I came back in here and got to finish up my transmitter. You saw I had posted on the Facebook page. Got the little DSMX module mounted inside that Turnigy 9X. It works flawlessly. Now I can do like 50 models, all with model matching, a genuine high-powered DSMX, DSM-2 transmitter inside of it. And I can still plug my FR Sky module on the external out the back. So I am very happy. I've had a very fruitful week.
This is the Turnigy 9X?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
But it's made in China. It can't be good.
Oh, it needs a little bit of love.
Oh, I went through hell when I got my 6T. But it's Chinese knockoff, and it's there. I'm like, it works. I don't care.
Well, that was genuine spectrum as far as my communications go. So the only downside is I use the module, the RF module out of a DX5E, which means I'm limited to 6 channels using the spectrum stuff. Now, if I plug something in the back, if that module's capable of more channels than that, then it'd be okay. If I could find somebody has like a dead DX8 or DX9, DX10, 18, whatever, I would love to buy one of those and steal the module out of the back of that and put in it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good fun, too. Wasn't that hard. Awesome. It was 3 wires.
And you like the beast?
Well, I haven't flown it yet because I get this little battery, and I thought, okay, yeah, I'll buy a battery since I got the binding flies. It doesn't come with any packs. And the battery I got, it comes with it looks like a JST 2-cell plug on it. I didn't pay attention. There's no power lead there, and you got to use their unique charger. So I buy one of the batteries, paid $15, which was overpriced, whatever. Get home, go to charge the thing up for the first flight, and I can't charge it up. So I'm going to have to order
– Well, they sell a lead for your charger for it, but I do want to recommend for you Hobby King. They have them in the U.S. warehouse, the Nanotech 260 milliamp hour batteries, and they are 35 to 70 C. It's like night and day inside that aircraft. Not only
that's
does it give
what
it a
I heard.
Bit, yeah. It gives it a little bit more nose heaviness.
Yeah.
And it's a little snug. What you have to do is you have to push it in there a couple times without the Velcro in and out just to compress the foam just a hair, and then it fits. But what I do is I cut an old credit card down, and I slide it between the two Velcros, and I'm putting the battery in or out so I'm not yanking on the foam, and it fits tight, and it's perfect.
Nice, nice. Well, I saw that Hobby King also has the Nanotech 300 milliamps, exact same dimensions according to their measurements, which – I'm not one to quote them, but $5, I believe, in the U.S. warehouse, and it's 40C discharge.
Oh, really? They didn't have that when I ordered them. Awesome.
Yeah, they just released them. And then they also, from the Chinese warehouse, they have a little balance board. You know how everybody sells those little balance boards? And I could plug up to 6 in it, plus it has little auto-reset fuses in line of each battery setup. So if there's a short or something, it doesn't destroy all your little packs. So guess I'll be placing an order here. But I've got an order from Hobby King that's been installed in Singapore. I ordered it back on September 9th, and it still hasn't shipped.
Really?
Yeah, nice. Everything's held up due to customs in Singapore. If you went through the Singapore warehouse, and there's a bunch of people on the forums that are talking about it, guess who happens to be one of those lucky folks? Yours truly.
Nice.
Such is life, though. It's a hobby. It's not my living, so I can't complain too loud.
Yeah, sounds good. How about you, Dwayne? What you been up to?
Building.
I see.
Building, 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 and I can't shut this play off. All right, hold on. I was trying to get a Hobby King in their damn auto play came on. I've been building foam stuff out of Dollar Tree foam. I had the Rafale, which you guys saw, and now I have the Eurofighter. The Rafale flew good. It was a little underpowered, so I went to use a motor, which I had asked on the forums about, you know, it having a bent motor shaft, what it's going to hurt. Yeah. And I figured, okay, it's a pusher. It shouldn't, you know, affect the body too much, whatever. Well, the motor had absolutely zero output, pretty much. When I launched, it just kind of rolled and just smacked. I had no power whatsoever, and it just kind of smacked into the ground and busted it all the way up and crunched it really good. So the Rafale was dead, which is a French plane anyway, so it probably committed suicide and retreated like they do, like the real French do. So I just I started on the Eurofighter. I got it all painted and ready to go, waiting for my electronics to come in. I'm going to put a 370 size zoom motor on it with a 170-watt motor on it and do a 6x4 prop, which should give it about 21 inches of thrust, which or 21 pounds or ounces of thrust. And the plane only weighs probably about less than a pound with everything. It'll weigh less than a pound with everything on it. So it'll have 1.5 times thrust to weight.
Nice.
And I got that, and we've had rain and wind, so really windy, so I haven't been flying much. I did get the Pitts and the Trinity in a couple flights, and I'm also starting on a RQ-11 drone I'm going to be working on later on tonight.
Nice. Hopefully. Yeah, I can't wait to see that. Where are you posting these pictures at?
I had a lot of them all in RC Hangar Time.
What, the group?
Yeah.
Of a drone?
So yeah, if somebody wanted to check out, yeah, I saw them. I'm just getting at, so if somebody wants to see where you're posting these pictures, they could go to the group.
Oh, RC Hangar Time on Facebook.
Yeah, how about that?
That's awesome. That was a good segue. I wasn't prepared for it.
I know. I even threw myself off on that one.
That was good. I liked that. That was good ad-libbing, too. That was amazing.
I know. I got one of those every show. I got to at least get one.
And I found that a standard printer, which I did get my printer fixed, it turns out there's one of those silicate packets when they ship, I don't know, food or bullets or whatever. Somehow I opened a package of something and the silicate package fell down where the paper loads, and that's what jammed my printer. But I'm able to print my own little decals on plain printer paper, and I use white Elmer's glue, stick them on the plane, and they look just as good as any of the store-bought stuff, and they cost me pennies on the dollar to make.
Yeah, I saw that on the Rafael.
Is that what I figured you were taping that off.
No.
Gave you a lot more credit than I am at the minute, but hey, okay.
I can't draw. Now, the stripes themselves are actually me. Actually, it's not even me taping off. That's just me straight up. I outline it with magic marker. I don't even outline. I just draw the design on one side of the wing with magic marker. Then I hold it up, and I draw the other side of the wing matching with magic marker, and then I color it in with paints. But yeah, okay. like the tiger head itself and the German flag and the little international flags and the German Luftwaffe cross, I printed those up. But like the stripes, the everything else, that's just all hand drawn with magic marker, not even a template or anything. It's just like, okay, here's what I gotta do.
Nice.
Well, they look good. They look really good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, cool. I finally got over the hump of being afraid and got the self-confidence to do it. So now I think I'm just going to start. Plus, it's getting so expensive to build, to buy. For me, it is. I'm just going to start scratch building. I figure two motors. I get the pedestal mounts with the quick release pods, and I could use two motors and fly pretty much all my EDF. Same thing if I do any prop driven. Get two motors and just swap them out and do that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. Sounds good.
How about you, Mike?
Same here with weather. It's been off and on with rain. We've got snow in the mountains already. The mountain tops are covered with snow.
Jealous.
It's been in the mornings when I go to work, it's in the 30s. And
really?
Yeah. Highs have been around the 50s. So it's been getting cold. I managed to get a couple flights in yesterday afternoon and nothing throughout the week. But last weekend did some flying, had our club meeting. We elected new officials at our local flying club, and I was elected vice president. So I'm pretty stoked about that for next year. Exactly. better pay my authority.
For attack.
Did you get a billy club or a little big wheel too to go with your Thor tie?
I haven't yet, but it is on the way.
Awesome.
AKA Scepter.
But other than that, that's about it for me. Just, you know, waiting out the weather. Oh, I did get the 130X back from Levi. Been tinkering
with that.
So
what all happened to it? Was he just playing with it?
No, we traded for it, and then we did another trade and ended up getting it back.
Okay. So,
yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, it worked out both ways. So it's, you know, something to play around with. So
it could be worse. You have 18 inches of snow like Rapid City, South Dakota got last night.
Oh, I know. I saw. Same with Montana. They got a bunch of snow out that way too.
18 inches.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my father-in-law lives out there. Global warming's killing me.
I know. I wonder, Al Gore's probably hiding in his bunker now.
Cool. Should we get on to some news?
You know what it is? That's all the glaciers melting and just coming down in the form of snow. That's what it is.
And now, from RC Hangar Time's News Center, it's time for news.
All right, has anybody got any news?
I do.
All right, what you got?
Since April, I've been waiting and watching and watching and waiting. The Fly Zone Air Cores, that's the new little 22-inch span. They have a little principal, which looks like a beaver, and they have a some warbirds. They have a P-51. They have a Focke-Wulf. They have a Messerschmitt and things like that. Well, I talked to Tower Hobbies again today, and each month they keep saying they're getting delayed. Oh, they also have a Spitfire and Zero. Well, supposedly they're in the catalog. They're on the webpage. They're in the catalog with part numbers. So they're saying late October, the frames should be in with the modules, and the modules will be in, excuse me, also independently. The modules are $59. The airframes are $49, and you can buy them in a kit, and you can also buy them in a two-plane kit. You get two bodies, one power module, or then you can buy the additional fuselages separately at $49. So they actually have a part number now, and it's just not, we're waiting for next month, we're waiting for next month. They're actually in the catalog, should be by the end of the month, which they look pretty interesting. All the servos, the ESC, the receiver, the motor are all mounted on a board that mounts inside the plane via batteries.
Cool.
So they're going to be available end of October. And they are SLT Tactic compatible. So if you have one of those radios, it will bind to that and work with that.
Cool.
Nice. Anything else?
Yeah, I wanted to add something I kind of alluded to earlier there. Anybody placing any orders with Hobby King, just letting them know that if you're going to choose shipping, do not choose the Singapore Post option. And if at all possible, right on Hobby King's website right now, they're saying they're recommending everybody buy their light post from the localist warehouse you can find. For instance, here in the States, we have a U.S. warehouse that has most of their light posts because, once again, a lot of the shipping companies, they're saying, are getting finicky about shipping light posts intercontinental or continental from country to country. It's getting things hung up in shipping. So just to give you a heads up and try and save you a lot of hassles and downtime, just try and be cognizant about your orders there. And then also, Fly Eagle Jets has a new jet they're releasing, which I'm very excited about. It's called the Sport Jet. 2,400 millimeter wingspan, powered by 120 Newton motor, which is about 32 pounds. For $28.95, all you need is engine electronics. That's a heck of a deal.
$28.95?
Similar, not the same. There's two decimal points you missed, or one decimal point two zeros. Yeah.
But, oh, darn.
So, but check it out on their website, flyeaglejet.com. It is a really, really cool looking jet, and they're excited to get a couple of the states here. So I'm anxious to see one here as soon as possible.
Nice.
Yep.
Awesome.
Cool. Anybody got anything else?
Nope.
Nice. I do.
Go.
So, you know, as most of you know, RC Hangar Time and doing a podcast costs money with the web hosting and the podcasting fees. So we set up a donation tab on the website at rchangartime.com, and just wanted to thank those that have, you know, graciously donated to the show and to the cause to helping out with the hosting fees and all that. And like I said, anything extra is going to go towards making stuff like stickers and hoodies and hats that we'll be doing giveaways for and that kind of stuff. So if you wanted to give a donation or help out, you can go over to the website and do that as well. But I wanted to thank those guys that who have so far. So thank you.
Do any of them qualify for my Best of the 80s Karaoke CD mix?
Not yet. Not yet. Okay. I need to actually get that write up and post that on there as well. So they can, just in case, they want that, as a donation.
Nice.
But that's all I got. Should we get on to our guest?
We have a guest?
Yes, we do.
Oh. All right, you're listening to RC Hangar Time. For more information, please check out our website, www.rchangartime.com. You can also check us out on Facebook. Just search RC Hangar Time.
So take it away when you're ready.
All right, Jim, you there?
I'm here.
Welcome. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I love being had.
Well, you've come to the right place now. Jim, if you just start off a little bit about yourself, where you're from. I know John and I already got that info, but our guests haven't. Where you're from, what got you started into the hobby, what some of your main interests are now in the hobby, and then these guys will start digging into your company info and things like that.
Well, I guess the easiest thing for people to do is to go to the website, racores.com. I started flying RC in 1970. I had a little Tester Skyhawk, which was a single-channel galloping ghost rudder-only plane that had an 049 on it, and I kept a little log, and it's kind of funny to go back and look at that log because I was so thrilled about having 45-second-long flights and all that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have to chisel it with a chisel and stone?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that made the hinges really stiff, but
I'm sure.
I can imagine.
How'd you hinge it?
And I actually started off in fifth grade with model rockets. And when you join model rockets, you got a subscription to, or when you join the NAR, which is the model rocketry version of the AMA, you got a subscription to American Aircraft Modeler. And in that, you got one page of rockets, and the rest of it was airplanes. So, of course, I started reading the magazine since you got one a month, and looked at the planes and got interested in the planes and did some control line. And then when I was a little bit older, my parents got me this little galloping ghost rudder-only plane that I beat into submission after a while. And I also did a scratch build of a Grompner Amigo 2, 2-meter glider that I put the 049 onto for a power pod. And then after that, I had a senior Falcon with a Weber 61 in it that I had on a control line plane, and I flew that. And it took me about 2 years of flying that to actually get it to the point where I could bring it home in one piece. It was definitely the crash and burn school of learning how to fly. We didn't even have buddy boxes back then. There was no such thing. Basically, you had a guy stand next to you, and you handed him the transmitter, and then he got blamed for the crash.
Nice.
So it was definitely that. And I was the only one in my area that had anything to do with radio control, so there really wasn't anybody to help. So I went through that. That was in the 1970s. And then 1975, I went off to college, and I didn't stay involved in the hobby for very long at that point, and I got back into it in the 80s when a buddy of mine called me up and said, "Hey, have you got anything flyable?" A buddy that I flew with in college called me and said, "Hey, have you flown anything lately and everything?" I said, "No," and all my batteries were dead, and this was about the same time that they were doing the upgrade to the narrow band transmitters and stuff. So he said, "Well, there's this great website called Tower Hobbies. Give him a call, order yourself a Futaba Attack for $100, and let's go." And that got me back into it. And at that point, I was flying predominantly gliders. I was competing in gliders pretty heavily at that point. And a lot of that led up to the 1992 Nats, which were held up here in Massachusetts. And I actually flew in the Nats with some of the guys, and I ended up coming in 30th out of, I think it was 73 or 74. So I was very pleased with being middle of the pack against national flyers. And because of that, being the cheap son of a gun that I am, and Dwayne can certainly relate to this, I did a lot of scratch building. And probably the most expensive thing when you're talking about high-performance gliders is the wings. And so I developed a manual foam cutter that actually let me cut my own airfoils out so that I could do wings really cheap. And then along with that, I got involved with selling them to buddies. And, you know, a friend would say, gee, you know, or I'd go to the friends and I'd say, hey, you know, you want one of these? I cut a whole bunch of them trying to work the bugs out of the cutter and everything. And they'd say, yeah, that's great, but what about this airfoil instead? Or what about this wing planform? And so that got to be the point that I started cutting wings, and that basically paid for my servos and stuff like that. Then I was working in the computer industry at Digital Equipment Corporation at the time, and one of the people that was involved with that was Eric Henderson, who's now, I believe, I'm not exactly sure where he is at the moment, but he does a lot of writing for the AMA magazine. He was their pattern guy for a while, and I think he was doing their electric stuff most recently. But he designed a plane called the Combat Gremlin. And the Gremlin was basically a Duraplane wing with no tail. He had been teaching his son how to fly, and he would take his son's Duraplane out and fly it, and he'd get bored, and he'd do stupid things, and he'd stick it in the ground and break the tail off. Well, he had, break the kid's plane so you can teach him how to fix it.
Yeah. What not to do, boy.
Yep. Don't do this. Well, the sad thing is that he would do it at lunchtime when the kid was in school. He'd bring it to work, and we'd go out flying at lunchtime, and he'd stick it in the ground. Then you take it home broken, and the kid would say, are we going flying today? No, we're not.
I hate you, Dad.
But he had done a lot of slope soaring in England. He was British, and he had done a lot of slope soaring in England, and a lot of the models were flying wings. So he said, you know, we really don't need this wing on here and stuff. We could make this. This is a good airplane. If we took the wing off, we could rebalance it. And so he designed up the Gremlin, which is basically a flying wing, which uses the concept of the Duraplane having the downspout fuselage. And so he designed that up, and RC Modeler actually put it into their magazine as a construction article. And so that went in December. It went into the December 92 issue. And that issue hit the streets. Well, before I get to that, he asked me, since I knew I was doing foam cutting, and he had been doing them for the local ones because we had been flying them. Those actually got flown as a Streamer Combat demo at the 1992 Nats that summer. And we had been flying them for about a year at that point. And he got the construction article into RC Modeler magazine and asked me, hey, you know, they're looking for somebody to come up and manufacture parts. Would you want to do the foam cores for it since you've got the foam cutting all set up and everything? And I said, well, how many are you doing? And he said, oh, it's usually 8 or 10 a month. It's not that bad. And I said, sure, that's fine. Well, they spelled my name right. They put my phone number in. I found out that the magazine hit the subscribers on November 8th because my phone started to ring. And by Thanksgiving of that year, I had 100 orders. I had no boxes for shipping. I had no materials for building the wings out of. I had no instructions made up. I was in business. And
eight
all
to
of a
ten.
Sudden, yeah, 8 to 10. 8 to 10 a day, as it turned out in the beginning. But so I ended up, you know, suddenly I'm in business, and that's where the business started. And I've done Gremlins this last year was the 20th anniversary of the Combat Gremlin. And it's been very popular, and I haven't advertised it since 1994, and yet I still get orders on a regular basis. I have right now I have four in the queue to go out this week also.
Nice.
And it got to the point where it was just taking over everything, you know, my life in general, as you've probably found out with the podcast, Mike. It just absorbs all time. And I had originally published myself as Wreath Associates, which was my software company.
Yeah.
And Reith Associates was in the software business, and here I am selling foam cores with it, and my accountant went crazy. And he said, there's no way you can do business under the same name as two different types of manufacturing and software and stuff. And so I changed it over. I added the – I said, you know, Reith Associates Cores, but nobody could spell Reith. So it ended up getting shortened to RA Cores, and that's where the name came from. And like I said in the pre-show and stuff, I get a lot of phone calls. People look it up, and they say, we'd like to speak to Mr. Ra, Mr. Ra Cores. Well, you know that they're bogus at that point. So,
that's always – isn't Ra?
No, it's not Ra. I am not the sun god. I'm sorry.
Oh. You know,
it fools everybody, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I told him it sounds like an adult film star name, Ra, featuring Ra Coors.
I see you've met me.
No, I'm just a big fan of your movies, Ra.
Nice.
So it started off with the Gremlins, and I did a lot of foam glider wings as well. And that went on for years and years. And I was in a startup company in the 90s. And so I backed off on the manufacturing at that point and had help from my family through that time. And then in the 2000 to 2010 era and stuff, I started getting into more and more different types of things. And then in 2008, I was laid off from my software job, and the market kind of collapsed, and I had two interviews in a year and a half, and so I decided that I was going to turn up the volume on the airplanes a little bit and started getting into other things. And one of the things that was hot at the time was electric foamies. And I was on RC groups, and I built a couple of Lead Feathers Yak 55s. And I really enjoyed them. And I talked to Dan, who is Lead Feather. I talked to him about the possibility of kitting them. He had there's two other manufacturers that are also kitting that plane. And he gave me permission. And I'm one of his authorized vendors. So that's my yak there. And I've also come up with a Spitfire and an ME-109 that are both my own design off 3Views. And those were actually shown at the Neat Fair this past month. In the noontime demos, they had Dave Lockhart and Devin McGrath, two of the Nats champions, flew them against each other and stuff, and it was really kind of cool. And I've got a video of that that I'm in the process of editing right now in my copious spare time.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Where do you find time to do all that and deliver all those toys on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, really.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at your picture here, and you got it for our viewers out there who don't know. He has solid white hair with a solid white big full beard, and to me, he looks very much like Kris Kringle, aka Santa Claus.
Well, if you go back in my RC Groups blog, if you go back to last Christmas, you'll actually see that I do have a Santa suit shirt that I wear at Christmas time and everything, and I put a Merry Christmas from RA Cores up on the website and stuff.
Awesome. I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that.
It's a lot of fun because I do get a lot of references to Santa because of my size and my coloring and stuff, and I'll go into grocery stores around, you know, Thanksgiving to Christmas, that time of year, and you'll see these 4 and 5 year old kids in there with their mommies. And they're hiding behind mom and looking and everything. And I'll give them a little smile and everything. And if they're close enough, I'll say, now you be a good boy now for mommy and stuff. And they shake their heads really, you know, oh, yeah, yeah, I will be. And it's really funny. So it's just so cute and everything. So I do have a lot of fun with it and stuff. I would never want to play Santa in a mall or anything like that. But, you know, For those moments, it's a lot of fun. And I picked up the shirt. If you do find that picture on there, I picked up the shirt for $5 at Walmart. And it's basically a shirt that looks exactly like a Santa suit with the fur down the front and everything. But it's just a printed T-shirt. But up in the corner, it says, does this suit make me look fat?
I like to picture my Jesus in a tuxedo T-shirt because it says, I want to be formal, but I'm here to party. Kel from Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights.
yep. You gotta have fun with it.
I like the orange color of your shirt too. I like that bright orange all going all over.
I know we're gonna have that discussion and everything, and I am an orange fan, I'm sorry. Probably my favorite my favorite color for the planes. I if you look at the yaks, the way I've got them laid out, I've got the entire rainbow. We make jokes about it being like juicy, not juicy fruit, fruit striped gum.
Fruit striped.
Buy the whole six pack, you know.
So I'm not even going to bother to ask you my question then. So, yeah.
But I really do like the orange colors. But I will say my second favorite is the fluorescent green.
There we go.
But Mike and all the kids out there listening, straight from Santa Claus's mouth, orange is the way to go. So make sure you have orange icing on his cookies this year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, none of these leftover Halloween ones either.
You know, I was talking to a bunch of pilots up here at that jet rally and asking, you know, some of them casually, what color do you feel gives the best orientation? And while I personally am a green guy, they all said the orange.
Thank you.
I don't think so.
I disagree as well.
Plus, orange makes better. Hey, can you imagine tiger stripes with fluorescent lime neon green? That just would
not
work.
Yes, I can imagine that.
Well, I think you can pull it off.
It must have been dropped
on
your head.
The orange really shows up well at dusk. I really find that it shows up well at dusk. I like the green in full sunlight, but I like the orange in low light situations.
The problem with green is that, especially where I fly with mountains and trees and stuff, that it does blend in. So,
well, it is a problem when you stick it in the trees.
Yeah, I usually try to stay out of the trees, but, you know. So, you know, our last guest, Crash, I'm sure, very well.
Well, not that well, but yes, I've been involved with Crash. Actually, there's a funny story that kind of ties us all together and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of headed to, was the you kind of started the whole thing with him, with the unicorn, I should say. Anyways,
well, I didn't start it, but I certainly put an exclamation mark on it. It all goes back to...
Hold on, we got Santa Claus talking about unicorns. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is going to get...
Wait till the Easter Bunny gets into it.
Yes, when is the Easter Bunny coming? What about the Tooth Fairy? Come on.
This is awesome. This is either like the ultimate child's version of RC Hanger Time, or all of us have been dropping acid. One or the other, but it's still awesome.
And the funny thing is, we haven't even digressed yet. We're still on.
I know. Tell you.
Let me tell you about the naughty girls. No.
Oh, God.
Oh. No, that's wrong, of course. He tells us about that. Not Santa.
Anyway, I got involved with Crash back around his episode 147.
Hold on. And... I apologize. Real quick before you go any farther. Yeah. When I was younger, I went as raw, of course. That's how I put myself through toy making school. Santa Claus, a.k.a. Rock Horse.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Good, Jim.
Anyway, Crash, Mike had a listener down in Australia that I had just sent some Gremlins down to, and he loved the Gremlins and thought that it was really great, so he turned around and wrote Crash a letter that said, hey, you really ought to get a hold of this guy because these planes are exactly what you look for. They're made in the USA, they're inexpensive, and they're durable. So you can go and you can have a ball with them and beat the hell out of them. Well, they read that letter on the air and then went into a 20-minute Gremlin love fest because 15 years earlier, Crash had bought a Gremlin and flown the hell out of it, stuck it into the side of his house, and done all kinds of stuff, and it just worked out really well. So about 4 or 5 episodes after that, they actually had me on as a guest, and we talked about it, and it was really a lot of fun. And so I got involved with them, and if you listen to the Crash Cast and you listen to them about it, they had... they talk a lot about Ceph. They're really into the Georgia fly-ins that happened down at Hodges Hobbies and stuff. So I heard like 3 weeks before, 3 episodes before Ceph, then 2 episodes at Ceph, and then like 4 episodes afterwards all about what I missed at Ceph that year. And so this year I went and I because I'm doing the airplanes as a full-time job now, I went to the Ram show and did very well, and decided, you know, I'm going to start traveling and I'm going to go to a lot of these events and I'm going to go there and do some sales and have some fun. And of course, in April, the one that was coming up was CEF. And so I went to CEF and physically met Crash in person. I met a lot of the crazies that you hear on the Crashcast and stuff. And as part of that, we actually talked about the unicorns, as you guys had on the episode 29 when you had him on. You talked about the pink unicorn. Well, I'm responsible for the pink unicorn. I built that as a joke just to have some fun. And I couldn't get it to fly. I was very discouraged because I couldn't get the balance right. I couldn't get it to fly. Well, Lane Stair was down there at CEF, and in 10 minutes he had the thing flying. And so we flew that all around, and after flying it for a day or so, they decided that they would go to After Dark LEDs, and they got some lights. And Tom gave them a couple of good-sized discs, and we put them on the outside, and it lit the whole thing up. That's and then awesome. they flew it in night bowling. And it never got anywhere near the pins, but everybody was screaming and hollering about it and stuff, and it was having a lot of fun. So we had a ball. There is a video up on my YouTube channel if you take a look at that. There's pointers on my website to it. You can see the unicorn flying and everything, and you can see Crash with it. And it's very personalized because I don't know. I think you guys talked to Crash a little bit about his Facebook page that he had the duck lips picture on. Well, yeah. We grabbed the duck lips picture, and that was on the face of the unicorn. Yep. And so that worked out. That worked out really well, and we had a lot of fun. And everything that you've heard since has involved unicorns. He has been gifted with unicorn Band-Aids. He has been given a shaker that shakes out sugar crystals onto cookies and stuff that's shaped like a unicorn. They come out of the unicorn's butt because unicorns poop Skittles. So it's naturally really gone. It's gone taste, way beyond.
Taste the rainbow.
Yes. Well, that's the whole thing. He had the unicorn hanging in his trailer at CEF. And somebody got a bag of Skittles and crushed them underneath it on the inside of his trailer. Awesome. and stuff. So there was little unicorn poops on the trailer and stuff. So it's gone well beyond anything that it was ever expected to be. And it's funny because I got introduced as the guy that made the pink unicorn when I was out at Watts over Owatonna in Minnesota. So it's just gone nationwide. It's really crazy and stuff. And there's some stuff planned for Hafey that should be interesting, but I'm not going to let that cat out of the bag because I'll bet you anything that Crash will listen to this. So he's going to have to wait and find out, and you guys will have to find out afterwards.
Nice.
So
back about 4 years ago, I ended up getting involved in the foamies and started doing the yaks, the lead feather yaks, and a couple of other lead feather designs. And then this past year, I've been involved in getting. Well, last year I did a Spitfire, and we've also done a mini Gremlin, which is a 30-inch wingspan electric Gremlin that flies just like the Big Brother, but it flies well. And I've got a twin Gremlin as well that flies with two electric motors, and that is interesting because it has differential thrust, so you can do a nice flat spin with that. And if you look at some of the videos on the Grem Twin page, one of them is a 22-second flat spin that actually goes up instead of coming down. Nice. So it's kind of cool to see how that stuff has gone.
Will it hover?
Well, it goes up, so I assume it would hover. I was playing around with it. The only reason why I fell out of the flat spin was because I was trying to control the speed and altitude with it and stuff, and it was the first one that I had ever done, so I didn't know what really affected it. And I kind of fell out.
I'm glad you gave it a cool name. Like, we always talk about how helicopters have the awesome names and airplanes get stuck with the stupid names. I'm glad you didn't name the Gremlin like a Fifi or something. I'm so glad you went with a good name.
It was between the Gremlin and the Fifi.
After marketing analysis, we decided to go with Gremlin.
Yeah. Fifi was overused anyway. So this past year, I've been involved with another pilot up in the Minnesota area, Metro GTI on RC Groups, Joel Durnberger. And Joel has a couple of designs based off of a common thread where he has a what he calls a blue FO. It was a delta wing that he made have some curvy lines that he was doing out of blue fanfold foam. And basically, I was looking for, well, he took that, and then he put floats on it for Ceph this year. And I had a buddy of mine that has waterfront property that said, why don't you get a float plane and come down and we'll fly off my dock? And so I went looking around for something that I could build, because I like building rather than buying something. Excuse me. And I ended up finding his float version, which he calls the H-Blue-O because it's water-based. And so I talked to him about that, and I got the design files for it so I could laser cut it. And when people found out that I was going to do that, I got requests, well, if you're going to cut one, can you cut three? Can you cut four? So I worked it out with Joel that we had an arrangement where I would cut his planes and give him the credit for them. And so I am now kitting the Blue FO and the H Blue O. And those have been very popular. I just got back from the Neat Fair in September, and I sold out of the H Blue O's, and the Blue FO's were popular as well. And Watts over Owatonna out in Minnesota, I drove out there in the beginning of August, and that was where they actually all started. So Joel actually had his out there, and he did some night flyers with them, and so we've got those on the website as well, all the information for how to create them yourself and such. So it's just kind of cascading. And what I've been doing most recently is cleaning my basement, because I've been using a laser cutter at one of the at one of my buddy's places about half an hour from here, and he's upgrading his laser cutter, and I'm going to take his small one that he has, and I'm going to have that in my shop here at home, and so I'll be able to do a lot more prototyping because I'll have access to it 24/7, and so that'll work out well.
I got to make mention of something. Just think about where we are in our economy and their state of technology when we could say, I got a hand-me-down laser cutter. He didn't want it no more, so he gave it to me.
Well, no, he was looking to upgrade, and so I gave him an upgrade path by buying his old used one, and it gives me a good deal because I got an inexpensive one that will be just as good as what I've been using, so...
Oh, I agree. I'm just jealous. I just think it's too cool.
I got a Walmart brand $1 razor knife, and I got a $3.27 sanding block, and I can make airfoils.
And you do probably very well. It's just doing it 50 times. It's a pain in the ass.
I was
going
to say, it takes me about, that's the hardest part. It takes me about a day and a half to get the foil right. So, yeah, I don't see that being like a Henry Ford moment for mass production.
Yeah. And that's probably the biggest thing with a lot of these kits that I'm doing and stuff is coming up with not the great design and the plane that flies, but getting it into a bag and a box to get to the customer. You know, just to get all the pieces together, figure out all the carbon that you need, get it all bundled, get instructions written and pictures taken and put everything in. I had the Spitfire was done for almost a year. But it took me that long before I could really get a picture built, and it ended up that I had one of my buddies online do a set of pictures for me because I just didn't have the time to do it. And that's the big thing is time management, trying to get all this stuff done and still have stuff going out, have product going out the door.
Now, are you still working a normal day job, or is this your
no,
job now?
This is full time now. I won't say that I gave up, but I got to the point where I wasn't getting interviews. And so it just made more sense to put all my effort into the airplane business. And then when I started traveling, I've been to, let's see, I went to the Ram Show. I went to Ceph. I went to Joe Nall. I went to Warbirds over Warwick. And then I went out to Watts over Owatonna out in Minnesota, and then I did the Neat Fair, and now I'm going down to Hafey, which is the Fall Ceph. And so I've been doing a lot of traveling, and it's basically all of it is large distances. The trip out to Minnesota was 1,300 miles one way. The trip down to Hodges for Seth and Hafey is, I think it's 1,050 miles one way.
So how many bales of hay do you have to feed the reindeer to go that far?
Oh, really? Yeah. You don't want to know how many pooper scoopers I go through.
Nice.
Touché.
Santa flies over to New York City, gets arrested for not cleaning up reindeer turd.
Yep. Kirby are reindeer, you planning... definitely.
Reindeer Jim, grain you... had too much salt in it. He's been fined.
Jim, are you planning on going up to Toledo this coming April?
Oh, that's the other one that I went to. I did go to Toledo, yes. And I did go to Toledo this year. I was actually in the National Balsa booth this year, and I probably will be again next year. And actually, I was in National Balsa is whose laser cutter I've been using and whose cutter I will be using. He's getting a big $100,000 one, and that's just way out of my league. So rather than break that and have to pay to get it fixed and stuff, I'll take his hand-me-downs and I'll keep that running. And for the stuff that I'm doing, I mean, the biggest thing that I've been doing now is I've been going in on off days. I'll take one day a week and I'll go in and I'll cut production. And the biggest problem that I have is that I don't know what's really going to be selling. I've got a good idea pretty much, but I'll go in and I'll overcut because I don't want somebody to suddenly say, oh, I want six of those and not have them available. So I keep a large inventory as I'm going. And I have to paint a lot of the yaks and stuff like that. So I need to keep a good inventory of painted kits as well, just so that I can turn them around and get them back out. And so it's a matter of just being able to do more just-in-time manufacturing with an in-house laser, because if I run out of something, well, that's not a big deal. I've got the raw materials. I could take a sheet of EPP or a sheet of Depron, and I can cut a Spitfire or an ME-109 or a Yak or a Delta or whatever it is that people are going to want, and do that, you know, at the same time and still get it out the same day. Whereas if I'm cutting once a week, I can't do that. I have to have the stuff available, because in this economy, everybody wants instant gratification. Nobody wants to wait a week for something to get mailed that their instant payment has already gone in on. You know, they want to have it in the mail and back to them. And so that's one of the things I try and pride myself on, is quick turnaround on orders.
Cool. Right.
I'm looking at the Gremlin now. So that's balsa?
No, that's a styrofoam wing and a PVC downspout fuselage. Okay. The fins are balsa and the ailerons are balsa. But in general, it's a solid extruded polystyrene styrofoam wing. It's not EPP, it's EPS.
Okay, because I'm not seeing the wings on there. I'm just seeing the on the website.
Take a look at the Grem Twin there, Mike.
Okay.
The Grem Twin is the same foam wing, but it has the pods cut out on the outside, and the pods are all laser cut wood. It's light ply and balsa.
Hello, Jim.
And then it's got two motors and two speed controllers and two batteries in each pod.
Hello?
I put the batteries into the pods because a flying wing actually has to. Yep.
Yeah, we're still here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hear nobody.
I couldn't hear anybody for a couple minutes there.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't hear anybody, and everything just cut out. And then now you're like breaking up really bad.
Everything's clear on my end.
Yeah, I could hear you. Yeah, clear, I was Mike. Hearing. Can you hear me clear?
Yep.
Sorry, could but yeah, me, I Mike? Just couldn't hear anything. And I saw the picture of Jim flashing that he was talking, but nothing was coming through. That's why I didn't mean to cut you off.
Somebody hit a telephone pole.
Hi, NSA agent number 372. Nice to hear. Have you with us again?
Nice.
It's that tag and release program that they've got.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Grem Twin is all laser cut for the balsa parts and everything. And because flying wings have to balance at 15% the mean average chord because of the flying wing configuration, I had to put the batteries out in the pods so that it would have enough nose weight so it would balance properly. So that actually worked out well. So it has two separate batteries. The thing that you have to be careful of is that the batteries are not typically tied together. So if you do a lot of left-hand spins, it'll run down one battery because the other battery isn't getting used. Yeah. So you have to do a combination of left and right spins, and you know, or just fly normal. I mean, that's not a problem either. But that's actually the plane that I used last year. Excuse me. Last year as my open class Gremlin, we do streamer combat with the man-on-man streamer combat, and that was my plane that I campaigned last year, and it goes really great. I love it.
Well, now I'm used to flying like the mini Pop Wings, and I'm not asking you to do an apples to apples comparison, but I would assume this Grem Twin, I mean, this thing looks like it's on acid. I would assume that thing is wicked fast compared to those Pop Wings, isn't it?
It's probably not that bad. It's maybe, I would say, 60 to 70 miles an hour. But I mean, you could step it up. I mean, that's just normal props and everything. I'm using APC 86Es on it, and I'm using 1300 kV motors. If you stepped up the motors and went with an 88 prop, you could probably kick that up an extra notch. We had talked about the possibility of doing a 100 mile an hour plus version of it for Ceph next year and stuff, but I haven't really looked into that and had any time for it.
I might just have to order one of those in and see about tweaking one of those, get it all hot set up, put one of those up against the rest of my buddies, what they've got.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I mean, it's got basically the leading edge of the wing is a half-inch, half-round pine molding, so it stands up quite well in full-contact combat as well. One of the things that we found with the Gremlins early on was because we were doing 20-foot streamers and 20 feet of string, if you got tangled up between each other, the string would actually saw into the wing, and you'd end up losing a wing panel because of that, and because the balsa just wouldn't stand up to the heavy string, you know, sawing across it. So we did it with the pine, and that stiffened up the wing quite a bit and also made it much more resistant to tearing. Yeah, cool. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, if you go onto the website, there's an entire playlist of combat, of Gremlin combat stuff that's on there, as well as indoor combat, because with the foamies, you know, you were talking earlier about the snow and everything. We haven't gotten to that point. We're still probably about 10 degrees warmer than you, but it's coming, and November 1st is typically the beginning of our indoor season, and we have a soccer dome that we fly in. That's 300 by 120 and about a 54-foot ceiling, I think it is. And we fly in there all winter. And at the end of our – we have a four-hour session on Fridays. And at the end of our session, a lot of the older guys have decided to pack it in for the day. And we'll go out there with an all-up with the yaks and stuff like that and just go man on – you know, just go fur ball with streamers and have a ball. And there's a lot of videos on the website of that stuff, too. And we just have a ball with it. And if you listen to them, you can hear us laughing, you know, because you'll hear a thump and somebody will go down and they'll be laughing. And then you'll see somebody go out and they'll throw it back in the air and go after it again.
And, that is awesome.
We just have a ball. And, I mean, they're low-cost planes. Because it's EPP, they're very durable. They stand up well. And, we literally have a ball with it and stuff. It's just a lot of fun.
Nice. Yeah, I'm definitely going to pick me one of those up. Now, what state are you in, if you don't mind me asking?
Massachusetts.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. That's right. I apologize.
But I'll say it again.
There we go. For those who didn't hear it earlier.
I'll even give the website again if you'd like.
By all means.
Hopefully you'll put it up on the list. But it's www.racores.com.
Yeah, we'll put it up in the show notes and the links and do that. I would like to try out that Gremlin. It does look fun, and I'd like to get one and you know, tinker around with it.
The no, you Gremlin. Wouldn't. Don't lie. It doesn't have blades like the heli. You don't well, want to try it. Be honest.
The mini Gremlin. It's made for crashing, so of course I'm going to want to crash it. I'm just going to launch it, crash it. You know, combat.
Launch it, crash it, launch it, crash it.
Yeah, that's what you do with airplanes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mini Gremlin.
Your name is Dwayne.
Hey, not on purpose.
I would strongly recommend the Mini Gremlin because it's a nice electric model. It flies on a 500 milliamp 3-cell, and it goes like hell. And it's just as much fun as the big one, but it's lower cost. You're talking a $25 kit and $35 for the motor, speed controller, and servos. It goes together fast.
Yeah, I think a couple of friends doing combat with that would be a ball, you know.
And that plane with the motor and speed controller that we have in there, that will pull a 20-foot, 2-inch wide crepe paper streamer. So nice. you can fly combat with that too. And we have a lot of fun with that. But it's a nice solid plane, and it's a good size. It fits in the back seat. It fits in the trunk. You can take it with you and throw it in with your other planes or helicopters or whatever. I did do helicopters for about 4 years, but I got sick and tired of feeding them crash kits. This is back in the days right as the Raptor was coming out. I was flying a Shuttle ZX, and it was $150 per crash kit. And after I went through four of those, I said, this just isn't fun anymore. I could hover, and I could do forward flying and back flying, sort of drag race stuff. But as soon as I went into full pattern forward flight and stuff, the tail would get out of bounds and I'd end up rolling it into a ball. And I just never got beyond that. I was great on the simulator. You know, the helicopter was set up good. I had an instructor and everything, but I just could not transition into full forward flight. And it just stopped being fun when I was pouring so much money into it. And, you know, I mean, the nice thing is you fix it, it's as good as new because it's all new parts that are put on. It's not like an airplane where it starts weighing, you know, 20 pounds because you get all this epoxy on it. But it just wasn't for me. I started that in the 1990s, the late 90s. I was a VP of software development in a startup company, and I was working 100-hour weeks, and I needed something to blow off steam every once in a while. So I got a hold of a small 049 helicopter called an LMH-100 that you guys probably have never even heard of, but it was a little 049 helicopter that was full collective and everything. And I put a Norvell 06 motor that was in it, and I put 3/4 gallon of fuel through an 049 size motor. So you can imagine how much flying I did with that. And I got really good with that. But the motor
took seven years.
Yeah, no, it actually took 4 months.
Wow, I bet that's a lot of flying.
But I could fly it. I could fly it in my yard. I could fly it in my driveway, and I got really good at hovering, and I could move it around. I could do nose in hover and stuff like that. But I just never. I didn't have enough room in my driveway to do forward flight. When I tried to, I ended up sticking it in trees. I'm surrounded by trees where I am. And if you look on my Facebook page, which is RA Cores also, if you look on my Facebook page, you'll see a recent post that actually shows me flying one of my 42-inch yaks in my side yard. And it's basically surrounded by trees. I've got about a 30-by-30-foot opening that doesn't go all the way up to the sky because there's overhanging trees above it and stuff. But it was great for hover practice. And that's basically all I could really do. So, you know, but it was at the house. I could do it, and I could blow off some steam when I was getting really crazy. And then go back to work, you know, and I was basically at work from 5 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night when I went up to bed. So that was my helicopter experience, just so I can tie in with you Blender boys, you know?
Yeah, right?
That's right.
Everybody's got to try.
It was interesting, and I would have liked to have done more with it and stuff, but it just got to the point where it was obvious that I didn't have the coordination that I needed to make everything move in the right direction. One of the things that's interesting, I mean, I've gotten involved in 3D flying now with the yaks and stuff, and I've got a 3D hobby shop plane that I still need to open the box on, so I've got hopes of getting into it. But one of the problems that I have with 3D flying is that I was a competition glider pilot, and one of the things that you learn and gets instilled in you with glider flying is you don't move the sticks suddenly. You don't move them fast. You don't move them big range. You're not going end point to end point on your sticks and stuff. And I haven't been able to really overcome that to really get to the point where I can really, you know, churn the sticks around and fly crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's been detrimental, and I think that actually hurt me with the helicopters as well. And so I'm trying to get beyond that, but, I mean, I really do love flying the gliders, and I haven't been able to. I stopped going to competitions a while back, probably 15 years ago, simply because I would go to the competition and my first round was always my trim flight because I hadn't been practicing since the last contest. And you get to the point where all your flights are contest flights and you just don't improve. And, you know, you've got to know your plane and you've got to have a good feel for it in order to really excel at it. And so I was coming in middle of the pack and I just couldn't do any better. And I didn't have the time to spend the, you know, weekend after weekend after weekend practicing. So it was kind of tough, and I've still got the gliders and they're still sitting there, but it just isn't something that I can really put the time and effort into.
Nice. Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was, might as well, wrap this up, and we're running on time now, and it's good to have you on and get to know you a little bit better and find out more about your RA core, your raw cores, I should call it. I hope that I get a decent Christmas present this year. I think I've done pretty good, and you know, a new heli would be nice. Just,
well,
know,
I'm just saying. I'm very energy conscious, so don't take offense at the coal that's in your stocking.
Oh,
I used to. Design, I tell my kids if they're bad, they're getting reindeer turds. And one time we had a pet goat. And I got some of their poo, and I encased their poo in epoxy and put it in a gift can and gave it to someone.
No,
I mean, so it was totally sterile because it was in like 2 inches of clear epoxy. But there was actually, I said, "Here's your reindeer turds," and they didn't believe me. Opened it up, and there was goat poo in the can, encased in epoxy.
Nice.
A very memorable event, I'm sure, for the holidays.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thanks for coming on, Jim. It was good to have you on, and hopefully
yes. We
can get you back on again sometime. With, you know, if you got something new or something else you wanted to share with us, that'd be awesome.
Well, like
very
I said,
back for Christmas.
Yeah, you'll have to have me on for the Christmas show.
There you go.
It's my busy season, but you know,
you know. You can make time for RC Hangar Time, right?
Of course, of course. I got to deliver that coal somehow.
Yeah, right.
No, it's been fun. I do enjoy the podcast. I'm only probably back to about episode 25, I think. I'm current on everything now, but I'm starting to go back through the old ones. And so I haven't gotten all the way back, and that's one of my problems with not knowing all the personalities, because you did go through a lot of people coming and going over the last 10 episodes or so.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of interesting trying to get to know everybody. I mean, and that will come with time, but I do enjoy it, and I appreciate being asked to come on, and it was good to talk to you guys, and I do look forward to coming back again. And like I said, November 1st, we convert over to all our indoor stuff, so that'll be a whole other product line running a bunch of 3mm Depron foamies and stuff like that. And, you know, that's where we're headed, and then I'm basically, after I get back from Hafey, which is 2 weeks from now, once I get back from that, I'm not traveling again until the end of February when I go to the Ram show. So it's sort of my indoor, take it easy, do a little bit of flying on my own for a change. And so I will be around. So, yeah, if you guys need a guest or want somebody to come down and hassle you some more, I can do that too.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. We'd like to hear about the new lineup and have some more fun on the show.
I appreciate that. It was good to come down.
Yeah, cool.
Thanks.
Well, that's all
Thanks,
I got.
Sean.
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Hey, we finally did it, all three of us.
Awesome.
Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of RC Hangar Time. Remember to help spread the word. You can find us on the web at www.rchangartime.com or just do a Facebook search for RC Hangar Time. We enjoyed having you. We just hope you enjoyed being had. And remember, have fun, be safe out there. We look forward to seeing you again next week.